The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Thank you for joining us for a new edition of HR Today, as always sponsored by NFP for your corporate benefit needs and the Dubin Group for accounting, administrative, and HR temp and direct hire needs. We're joined with with Meredith Toole, who's the founder and CEO of Talent Point Consulting. Meredith's mission is to disrupt the way companies approach and engage with talent. She's the founder and CEO of Talent Point, which specializes in creating talent strategies, processes, and programs that build thriving companies and cultures. Meredith, thanks for joining us. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you. Unbeknownst to me, we are neighbors.
Yes, thanks for having me. I'm happy to be here.
You live on one side of street in the huge mansion, and I live in the shack, the carriage house.
Not quite.
I jog past your house all the time. So you left corporate America. Mm-hmm. You started your own company. Let's talk a little bit about what you did, which led you to Talent Point.
Yeah, thanks. So I guess rewinding a little bit, about 7 years ago, I was in an internal consulting role at Ernst & Young, and there I was responsible for creating and executing recruiting strategies for both a regional and national practice.
Right. And that's not easy because CPAs, it's tough to deal with them.
Well, and I was also on the advisory side of the house, so also doing more consulting type roles.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, so, and it was great, but I had been there for about 5 years, and we were looking at the next fiscal year, and I sort of felt like I just didn't want to keep doing what I had been doing. And I'd always had an idea of starting my own business at some point. So in my mind, 2010, things were going to have to recover at some point, right?
Correct, yes.
So I thought, well, if I go out and start my own business now, when professional services firms are in need of external resources, I'd be the perfect person for them to call. And so I left Ernst & Young on a Friday, and I started my business on a Monday, and I haven't looked back.
I left my old company, went to Amsterdam for 4 days over Labor Day, and started the day after Labor Day 19 years ago. So I get it. It's just my head hurt for a week when I got back from Amsterdam, a little different. So you went from corporate America.
Yep.
You also did recruiting and talent acquisition for a little, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do. So you know all aspects of headhunting and talent acquisition and engagement. Mm-hmm. Why'd you decide to go into this particular mm-hmm. field versus just being a recruiter?
Well, and maybe just to take another step back, you know, when I got started on my own, I went back to my headhunting roots. I had to. It's what I knew, and it's what it would sell in 2010. And so, and I was very fortunate at that point in time to start acquiring a lot of different clients, professional services, you know, tech, digital marketing, consumer goods, and I did tactical recruiting for 18 months. But there came a point when I was on a call with a client who was filling, had a new opening, and it was a position that they had filled time and time and time again. And as I listened to them tell me the story about what their struggles had been, I really sat there thinking, this is the definition of insanity, right? They're doing the same thing time and time and time again, yet expecting different results. So I shifted the conversation with the client at that point in time and really started to have more of a business discussion to understand kind of, you know, what are we going after here holistically? What's the need of the role? Why isn't it working? And so on. And that's kind of when everything changed for me. That's when I realized that there's a lot more value in working with a client to help them reveal and diagnose the things that are holding them back from attracting and retaining their people. And it's also where I realized that I do my best work. And so that's when I shifted what I was doing from that tactical recruiting piece to being more of a strategic partner and working with clients on that end-to-end talent strategy.
So do you consider yourself really a human resource consultant?
Nope.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? I cringe when people put me in the HR bucket, but I know why they do. And even I struggle sometimes with exactly where I sit. But, you know, I have a pretty potent point of view on the difference between HR and talent acquisition.
Right.
If you want me to go there, I'll share it with you.
I'd love to hear it.
So it's interesting. So in my mind, there's a really big difference between the types of people that sit in traditional HR and talent acquisition.
From a corporate perspective, is that where we're going? You're saying a human resource manager versus a talent acquisition manager at the same company, or you're saying headhunters versus HR people?
Both, okay. actually, when okay. you think about it, right? Because I think you'll find people with very different skill sets and attributes sitting in each seat. So here's how I see it. HR is more compliance in nature. It's the behind-the-scenes type work that HR is responsible for, your payroll, your benefits, your compensation, your employee relations, all those types of functions. And they're very important, but that person needs to report up through a CFO or a COO, right, because it's operational in nature.
Sure.
Where talent acquisition is going to be more of your brand ambassadors who are intimately aware of the market in which you operate. And so these are going to be your relationship builders, people who know how to identify talent and attract and recruit and onboard and retain them and understand what makes those people tick to keep them with your organization. And because it's so important and strategic in nature, that role has to report up to the CEO.
So your philosophy is take that talent acquisition manager, coordinator, whatever they're called, mm-hmm. pull it out of HR and maybe dotted line to HR, but a direct line to the CEO, COO, even CFO. Is that correct?
I say pull it out completely,
right.
and it is a standalone function that reports up through to the CEO.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. How is that perceived in the HR world?
So it is interesting. The first couple times I threw that out in a public forum, I was waiting for some backlash and I didn't get it. And hopefully we won't get it today.
Right.
But I've really found that most HR professionals also see the functions as two very separate things. And it's supported by a lot of CEOs as well.
Well, I'm only on one side of it. I am not a human resource. I am more exclusively talent acquisition. Mm-hmm. And I see that a lot of the HR folks feel that talent acquisition is a thorn in their side.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to argue your point. I don't know about who it should report to. I haven't given it thought, but it is a thorn. And the HR almost, they're like, just get it done. I need someone because the hiring manager is breathing down my neck. And it's problematic. I understand. You're not going to get backlash from me. Plus, I'm tired. So if you pull it out, Have there been studies that the results are better?
Well, I can tell you it's been better for my clients, right? And I'm not saying that by separating the functions, it necessarily solves every problem that exists on the talent acquisition side, but it's a really good start. And I think part of it is the challenge that companies have with HR today is that they are trying to solve today's problems with yesterday's solutions. And so I've read countless surveys where, you know, CEOs talk about attracting and retaining talent as
Correct.
Being one of the top three things that keep them up at night, right? But they give it lip service. And if it's that important to them, then they need to own it. And it, also, when you pull it out tactically, you know, for all the people who whine and cry about not having a seat at your table, at the table, when you report up to that CEO, you better believe you're going to get the attention that you're saying that you want. And so, it's your chance. It's your chance to educate, collaborate, and solve the problems that break down the barriers to why your recruiting isn't working within your organization.
I'm playing the scenario in my mind as mm-hmm. I'm talking to you. You're sitting alone as a talent acquisition manager. You have a team of three.
Mm-hmm.
You're not able to attract the talent. You're reporting to the CEO. And all of a sudden the finger pointing, well, our benefits stink, or the manager's bad, or it's been open for 3 months because we're not paying enough. You know, and then they're pointing fingers at HR saying, well, your compensation studies are wrong, our benefit structure is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
How much conflict does that create when they're not in harmonious? You know, granted, it's the culture and they want to make sure the company thrives, but now their job's on the line. So how much friction does that create between HR and talent acquisition? If at all?
That's a good question. And
thank you.
I can tell you in my experience that, you know, when I go in and I work, you know, while I'm usually working directly with the CEO, I have to partner with the HR resources that are there, right? And there's usually a healthy level of mutual respect between what each person is trying to achieve. And it's about working together, but leveraging the data that you actually have and more or less like operating in reality,
sure.
right?
Yeah.
And if the benefits are an issue and everybody acknowledges that, and we can't solve that problem today for whatever reason, there's other things that we can do together as a team
right.
to overcome that.
And what are, I mean, what would you do? Would you be able to say, I mean, if there's a position, talent acquisition, hard to fill position, I guess become creative.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I'm just about, hopefully, fingers crossed, ready to close a job where it was supposed to be based in King of Prussia. Now they said, well, you can work from home a couple of days.
Yep.
Or you can fly to Charlotte if you need to.
Sure.
I mean, I guess think outside the box. Is that the philosophy?
You have to think outside the box with everything right now. And it's, so whether it's a location issue, which is easily overcomable at this point, right? A lot of times you'll go in, and I work usually with companies between 50 and 300 employees,
okay,
right? So smaller to mid-size. And, you know, sometimes they can't pay necessarily what's expected in the market. Well, I'll tell you what, you can come up with an incentive comp plan tied to very measurable goals that you need this person to achieve that is a reasonable thing to do. There's a lot of things.
I mean, you can become creative.
Yeah.
Is there anything a company could do better as it relates to attracting talent? If there was one issue, what would it be? One thing that a company can do?
So I wish there was just one thing.
Right.
But in my mind, right now, the one thing that all companies, regardless of size, need to do is start that making sure that recruiting acts like marketing and thinks like marketing, right? Because today's issue for most companies is just quite frankly cutting through the noise and making sure that they can reach the right person with the right skills at the right time.
And talent's at a premium right now.
Absolutely.
I want to ask you, why do you love talent acquisition? I always say, why do you love human resources?
Yeah.
It's the first time I'm going to ask you. Why do you love talent acquisition?
Well, thanks, because you wouldn't have wanted my answer to why I love HR. I love talent acquisition because, and it might sound a little corny, but, you know, I really believe that when you open up a career opportunity to someone, you're changing their life, right? You're offering them something better than what they're doing today. And to be able to do that and then to be able to offer a really valuable resource and watch them thrive and grow a company, it's actually very rewarding.
I'm laughing because people say, what do you do? I'm like, I try to better people's lives,
yep,
closer to home, better benefits,
yep,
opportunity for growth, a job if they're unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
So I it's music to my ears to,
yeah,
hear someone that's on my side,
yeah,
occasionally. So I want to thank you for joining us. If anyone wants to get in touch with you,
yeah,
what website should they use, Meredith, to find Talent Point?
So it's talentpointconsulting.com, Talent Point Consulting, all one word.
All right. I want to thank Meredith Toole, the founder and CEO of Talent Point Consulting. I appreciate the opportunity to meet with you, and we'll talk soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks.
Okay.
Will this be the year that your company makes its move? What about the one or two people in your organization who are still question marks? Maybe their way of thinking is not progressive. Have their computer and accounting skills faded? Are they still doing things the way they've always done them? That's a bad fit if they're making key decisions for your company. Letting go a key employee is never easy. The Dubin Group can help. They conduct confidential replacement hiring for clients that need to make an immediate change and replace a current key employee with a top talent that will keep your company growing. From the recruitment and screening of candidates to conducting off-site interviews and every step to the final offer. Call Ken Dubin right now. The Dubin Group, matching the right people with the right companies for over 15 years in the Delaware Valley. Confidentially replacing an employee is never easy. Let the Dubin Group help. Call right now. When it comes to employee benefits, the name to know is Sharon Planning, the premier employee benefit consulting firm in the Delaware Valley. Sharon Planning is headquartered right here in has been serving companies in the Delaware Valley for over 15 years. Sharon Planning focuses on middle market firms with as few as 100 employees and as many as 5,000 employees. However, they also serve clients with 3,000 to 30,000 employees. They specialize in planning, designing, implementing, and managing an effective employee benefit package for your team from start to finish. Sharon Planning will save your company money while maximizing your employees' benefits and make their lives easier. Get the Sharon Planning team with over 65 employees, 160 clients, and $500 million in managed premium on your side. Contact Rich Kreckstein, Director of Business Development, right now at rkreckstein@sharon.nfp.com. That's rkreckstein, K-R-E-K-S-T-E-E-N, @sharon.nfp.com. Sharon Planning can make a difference for your company.
And thank you for joining us for the second half of HR Today. We are, as always, sponsored by NFP for your corporate benefit needs, the Dubin Group for your accounting, admin, and HR temp and direct hire needs. And today we are talking with the HR generalist at Archer & Griner, Lisa Holshue. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Oh, not a problem. So Archer & Griner, large law firm specializing in real estate, tax appeals, tax law, environmental, personal injury, commercial litigation, construction, matrimonial, labor and employment. You are a firm that handles everything over there in Haddonfield, correct?
Yes, pretty much.
Well, that's good. Now, you have 340 employees worldwide, I guess, with offices Hackensack, Princeton, Red Bank, Wilmington, Philly, Delaware, New York. So you're all over the East Coast, I shouldn't say worldwide. I guess with 340 employees, you have 340 people in your office all the time asking you questions.
Pretty much. A lot of times, yes.
Okay. So let's talk about retention and culture, which is important not only for law firms but every company, because talent is at a premium right now. Tell us about the HR team at Archer & Griner, what's it made up of, and where you fit in there.
Okay. So we are an in-house HR team, and I'd like to say we're hardworking. We're a team of men and women who are forward-thinking and intelligent. We report directly to our director and oftentimes to the firm's COO, who we hold in the highest regard. I'd like to say Stacy is amazing. She's a great leader. She's kind, approachable, and incredibly smart. And I'd really like to say that she's gifted. I think it all starts there. When you have someone who you admire so much and is a role model, you do your best work for them and in turn for yourself, really.
So I know we talked about employee retention and culture, and I think culture is what keeps employees. Tell us about the retention rate and what you do over at Archer & Griner, because I know you guys are proud of what you have going on over there.
We are very proud of that. We're celebrating many anniversaries this year. 13 of our employees are celebrating between 20 and over 40 years of employment. 15 employees are celebrating between 10 and 15 years. They just don't leave Archer. A lot of times they just stay with the firm.
And is it just the benefits? Is it that, you know, everyone's smiling all the time? Does it not rain in Haddonfield ever?
Sure, it rains. We've gone through company changes, even a downsizing at one point, but we held strong and came through. I think what has helped is the confidence in the leadership at the firm, the determination within the HR department, staying positive and keeping your head high. Many friendships formed, too, over the years. Just the other day, we were exchanging photos who were passed around, and the photos were taken from 2007. And believe it or not, most of the employees in the photos were still at the firm. It's just amazing. And the leaders also try to foster communication as best as possible. And I believe it's about working hard and liking what you do and having a little bit of fun, too.
What do you think? I mean, and people are staying there. It's got to be the culture. Can you describe the main culture of the firm? Is there one sentence? Is there one mantra that you go by to keep everyone there?
I don't know if it's one thing. I think it's a lot of little things. We do have a relaxed dress code. We're business casual. In the summertime, we're permitted to wear jeans on Fridays. We have ice cream and water ice socials. For instance, the first day of summer, we'll have maybe Mr. Softy come in, Philadelphia pretzel treats and cupcakes in the fall. And Halloween is a really big to-do at Archer also. Many of the employees bring their kids into work dressed up, and they physically trick-or-treat around the office to all the attorneys' offices and everyone's office, really. It just puts a smile on everyone's face, I think. Just this summer, we introduced lunch trucks to our offices. I know here in Philadelphia, there's lunch trucks everywhere.
Sure.
But in Haddonfield, New Jersey, we don't really see any lunch trucks. So I think that sparked a spike in morale in the office.
Now, I mean, that's a good reason for people to be attracted, but for them to stay long term, it's got to be more than a lunch truck and getting candy and ice cream, because then all you have is fat people that are groggy and sleepy
right.
all day. So what is it that, I mean, is it that besides the dress code, I mean, it all adds up, but
right.
is there anything that you say, hey, and I'll ask it to you, why are you there every day? And don't say you live a minute from the office. That's not
the answer. No, I don't. I don't live a minute from the office. It's just, I think it's the work. I love what I do. It's not only different every day. We like to say in HR, it's like a surprise party. You never know what you're going to walk into day by day. But it's, I think the respect that we have for each other and it's just the atmosphere in general. A lot of people that I interview, too, when they come in to interview, they can just tell by sitting in the lobby when they come in, everyone's friendly. Just feel it.
That Archer Griner perspective and culture, mm-hmm. I mean, when you have bought out other firms and incorporated their personnel into your fold, per se. Have you seen where they're like, oh, my God, you guys do that here? Or, oh, wow, that's so nice. Or is it that it's expected that you're nice? I mean, is there a nice eye-opening experience when you're buying out these other firms?
Well, it was a change for them because it was their way of doing things a lot of times. But we listened to them.
Right.
And we listened to what was important to them, and we made it work. So it was a challenge, I think, for everyone. But when you work together and you foster communication and really care, I think it makes a difference.
Are the partners hands-on with this, or do they leave it to HR? I mean, is this mantra coming down from the partner in charge, or is it they let HR decide what to do?
Yes, there is a board of directors that we take the lead from, and then HR, we fit in and do our thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we work together with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we just try to foster communication, and we're one. We try to, all the regional offices, we try to incorporate into one company.
So all offices employ the same mindset and culture, even if they're remote?
Yes.
Okay. Now, the culture obviously helps with the retention. I don't know if you know this. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is your retention rate better than other law firms? Is it the same? Is there a specific retention rate with larger law firms in the U.S. that, you know, they expect a turnover of 10%? I mean, what are those numbers, if you know?
I don't know the numbers offhand, per se, but it seems I see a lot of the new when people come on board newly rather than they've been with the firm for a long time. Sometimes it's they're so used to being with their previous employer.
Right.
It's hard, I think, sometimes for them to fit in, whether it's the work or the atmosphere. And a lot of times I don't think they give it a chance.
Right. Okay. Is there anything that you say, you know, and you had mentioned you've long tenured people. Mm-hmm. I mean, is there a big celebratory gathering when someone's there 30 years? Because most people do not stay at a firm or a company for 30 years. I mean, this has to be big accomplishments when you see that.
Yeah. We do give them a monetary gift, and also we give them a piece of jewelry. Actually, I do go out and shop for the anniversary gifts myself. So I kind of get a feel for what they like, if it's a classic watch or a piece of jewelry. But, yeah, we do celebrate it. We give flowers, and we try to change it up every year also.
Right. And is there anything that you see that's coming down the pike as it relates to employee retention or culture that needs to be changed overall, not just at Archer and Griner, that you're seeing, hey, I interview people, I'm hearing the same things over and over, you know, my company didn't like me, or, you know, they cut me off and, you know, they fired me last minute. I mean, are there big things and values that you see that could help any firm in keeping their people?
That's a good question.
Thanks.
I don't know if it's one thing.
Right.
I think communication helps. If we try to, when we have people come on board with us, we have a 30-day meeting with them, and we ask them what's going well for them, what they're struggling with, where can we help, if there's a need for help. And a lot of times, everything's going well.
Right.
So we do have those meetings, 30 days, and then they're annual, of course.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's one thing I can put.
Is there anyone that really didn't like the culture at Archer Griner that people couldn't say, this is not for me? Have you ever experienced that?
I personally have not. I think it was more maybe just recently. I'm thinking of the most recent
right.
person that we had on board. They're less than 30 days,
right.
and this person had called out numerous times, and we thought it was maybe a health condition.
Yeah,
and
it's the individual.
It was just it was just maybe the work environment.
Okay. Lisa, why don't you tell everyone why you love human resources?
Okay, I enjoy the work that I do, the people I have the pleasure of doing it with every day. Like I said, it's like a surprise party. Sometimes you never know what the day is going to bring. And I really enjoy meeting everyone who joins the firm. And on some of the more serious side of things, for example, when someone is going out on leave to have a surgery, for example, I coach them through the FMLA processes. And I just have the opportunity to meet so many different people through interviewing, agencies, networking, meetings, things like that.
All right. I want to thank Lisa Holshue, HR Generalist for Archer & Griner over in Jersey, www.archerlaw.com, if you want to check her out and check out the firm. Thank you, everyone, for joining us for another edition of HR Today.
Will this be the year that your company makes its move? What about the one or two people in your organization who are still question marks? Maybe their way of thinking is not progressive. Have their computer and accounting skills faded? Are they still doing things the way they've always done them? That's a bad fit if they're making key decisions for your company. Letting go a key employee is never easy. The Dubin Group can help. They conduct confidential replacement hiring for clients that need to make an immediate change and replace a current key employee with a top talent that will keep your company growing. From the recruitment and screening of candidates to conducting off-site interviews and every step to the final offer. Call Ken Dubin right now. The Dubin Group, matching the right people with the right companies for over 15 years in the Delaware Valley. Confidentially replacing an employee is never easy. Let the Dubin Group help. Call right now.
When it comes to employee benefits, the name to know is Sharon Planning, the premier employee benefit consulting firm in the Delaware Valley. Sharon Planning is headquartered right here and has been serving companies in the Delaware Valley for over 15 years. Sharon Planning focuses on middle market firms with as few as 100 employees and as many as 5,000 employees. However, they also serve clients with 3 to 30,000 employees. They specialize in planning, designing, implementing, and managing an effective employee benefit package for your team from start to finish. Sharon Planning will save your company money while maximizing your employees' benefits and make their lives easier. Get the Sharon Planning team with over 65 employees, 160 clients, and $500 million in managed premium on your side. Contact Rich Kreckstein, Director of Business Development, right now at rkreckstein@sharon.nfp.com. That's rkreckstein, K-R-E-K-S-T-E-E-N, @sharon.nfp.com. Sharon Planning can make a difference for your company.